Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Hello, friends. This is Jonathan McLean, pastor of Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. So glad that you have joined us this morning. I would invite you, if you do not have a church home, why not come out and visit with us today? We meet in Palm City at 770 Southwest 34th Street, and our service starts at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. God bless you. We're going to go into a service at this time, pre-recorded. This is taken from December the 29th, 2024.
In chapter 20, verse 24, one of the disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came the first time to them as a group. And they told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." And you remember this passage. This is in John 20. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wounds in his side." Take note of this, that the disciples are saying, "We have seen him." Well, that is, the disciples are all saying that except Thomas. And Thomas is saying, "I believe, in my words, I'm happy for you that you've seen the Lord, but I haven't seen him yet." Some of you have some family members that are maybe like that. They may look at you and think you're a little goofy and a little crazy and a little radical because of your faith in God. But maybe we should pray that more of those that were asking God to save, that they would have a first-hand encounter with God. Not with their physical eyes, but with their spiritual eyes. How many of you know that even people who are lost still have spiritual eyes? They may be serving the enemy. They may be a long ways away from God. They may not have respect for you or your faith, but they still have spiritual eyes. God made them to have spiritual eyes. And so Thomas is, he is a believer, he's a follower, he's experienced miracles, but Thomas is saying, "I'm really glad that you have seen him and you know that he's alive," but Thomas is saying, "I want to see him, I want to see him." And now I want to talk to the church for just a moment, because there may be someone that's in this room this morning that needs a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ in your life too. And I know that in my life, I have come to points and times in my life where the circumstances have been screaming at me. And what they've been saying is, if God really loved you and if God really cared, then you wouldn't be where you are and you wouldn't be facing what you're facing and you wouldn't be going through what you're going through. And the enemy will say, "Why do you still pray and why do you still trust and why do you still serve and why do you still give and why do you still believe?" And the enemy will come to challenge your faith. I think many of you have been at least one place in your life where you've experienced some of that. I have as well. But I have found something out in my life that when I'm at a place like that, I can relate to Thomas really well, because where I am, I really need a fresh revelation of the Lord in my own life. I just need to get out of the junk and away from the stuff, and I need to move close to God. I need to let go of some things. Maybe I need to just move them off the platter. I remember a minister telling me that there were times in his life and his ministry when he just felt dry. Didn't doubt that God was with him, but simply didn't feel it. Didn't have a consciousness that God was with him. He said, "After many years of ministry, I came to realize that at any time in my life, if I would set aside 3 days and fast and seek God, that in that 3-day period of time, that I would see Jesus anew and afresh." He said, "I was never far enough away that a 3-day journey wasn't enough to bring me back." Now, I don't know what kind of a journey you may need in your own life. I don't know whether it's an hour, whether it's a meal, whether it's going to be a part of our 40-day fast, whether it will be 21 days, because, of course, our friends Tim and Maria, they're going to be leading a 21-day fast. We'll be talking about that on the radio station. For me, I'm going to be on a 40-day fast. I sense that that's what God was saying to me for this year. But I want to challenge you to seek God and draw close to Him. And if there have been some things that have crowded in between you and His presence, and maybe your spiritual eyesight is not as clear as maybe some of the other disciples. I want to encourage you to know that when you have that searching heart, and I believe that's what Thomas had, I believe Thomas was simply saying, I want to see him. It's not good enough for me for you to see him only. I don't want to have a your testimony story. I want to have a my testimony story. I want to have I have seen story. I believe Thomas was saying, I want to be able to face any demon in hell. I want to be able to stand against all the darkness. I want to be able to face any accusation and say, I too have seen the Lord. And I touched him. You say, well, can't see him with my natural eyes. I can't touch him. But let me tell you, God can and does touch our hearts and touches our lives and restores our mind and restores our faith and strengthens us and refills us. And I believe some in this room and some in this coming year are going to need to remember that whether it's an hour away or a day away or 3 days away, whether it's one meal away or whatever it might be, that we need to stay in a place where we can see the Lord. Changes everything. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. You see, Thomas didn't abandon the family. He was there. The doors were locked. We know why the doors were locked. They were afraid. They saw what happened to Yeshua, and they knew that they were known as his followers. The doors were locked. Let me tell you that locked doors and circumstances that don't have answers cannot keep the love of God out of your life when you're seeking him. There may be spirits of fear. I've had those times. Not that I wanted to be fearful, but times when I just needed a breakthrough. And I really want to encourage you to prepare your hearts for a breakthrough, a fresh breakthrough, a new breakthrough. Not that you aren't saved, not that you aren't full of the Holy Spirit, but that you are seeking to see the Lord and touch the Lord and have the Lord touch you in a fresh way as we move into the end of this year and into a new season. I believe it is a new season, not just politically. I believe what's happening in a political sense is to a large result the cause of Christians seeking and praying and acting in their faith. And I believe that what God is up to is bringing salvation to many who are in desperate need of that. And you will, by the grace of God, never find me not believing for your total miraculous healing. And you may say to me, well, what if it doesn't happen in this life? I'll tell you what, I can't answer any of the what ifs. I can just tell you this, that I know that the God who saved me is a faithful God. I know the God who saved me delivered me from death. I know the God who saved me has delivered me from hell. I know that Satan is not in charge of my life. I don't understand what some of you are going through. I don't understand why you're going through it. I don't have an answer for why it's taken so long, but I know this, I want to live in faith and I want to step into glory walking in faith. I do not want to give a moment's doubt or unbelief to the enemy in my life for my son Andrew or for your son or for you or for anyone else. I will continue to trust God. And so when I say that I can see in the natural world that there are spiritual dynamic breakthroughs, I believe we should encourage our hearts and we should toughen up as men and women of faith and say, God has heard me. I may not have received yet all that God has for me, but I will believe and I will stand with those who believe. Thomas, he's inside with the other disciples, and suddenly, there was one of these suddenly. Mark talks about suddenlies a lot. He was a guy that recognized that the Holy Spirit starts moving in a powerful way. And there was one of those suddenlies. One moment, Yeshua is not in the room, and the next moment, he's in the room. Let me tell you, that is exactly the way God shows up often in our lives, where there's one of those suddenly moments. You're in the room, and maybe everyone has been touched but you, and maybe the enemy's saying, for some reason, God must not love you like he loves everybody else. The enemy's a liar. Because suddenly, look for the suddenly and believe and exercise your faith. Jesus showed up and he said to them, peace be with you. But immediately he went to Thomas. Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand into the wound on my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. And Thomas saw and he touched. And Thomas was touched. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. What was Thomas saying? Thomas was saying, I just had to see again. He'd seen many times. He'd seen miracles. He had things he could testify about. He had heard the word. He had heard others. But he just needed to see again, needed to hear again. And we don't have any record of Thomas ever questioning out loud again that Jesus was alive. If you go to India, you go to Kerala, you're going to find that the church is strong in Kerala in India. And you will find that many will be more than excited to tell you the story of Thomas who came and ministered to their nation. And when those who had spears came and threatened his life, the testimony is that Thomas never stopped declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. As they hurled those spears at him and they pierced his body with all of the breath that was in him, Thomas stood and preached the gospel because something happened when he saw Jesus that time. I'm believing that we as a congregation are going to see a lot more of Jesus in this coming year. That we're going to have some breakthroughs to talk about. And it's not just for me and it's not just for one or two of you. I believe that God is saying, draw nigh unto me. Whatever happens, whatever's going on in the world, whatever you see, you're not in the dark. You're not alone because you are those who believe. You see, in John, Jesus' disciples saw him do many other miraculous signs besides the ones recorded, and they told everybody about it. Jesus said to Thomas in verse 29, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway. It's okay if we pray that prayer. I've had some visions. Probably many of you have had some visions. I've had some wonderful encounters with the Lord. Probably most of us in this room have had some wonderful encounters with the Lord. But I believe that God wants to visit His church and His people again in a real and a personal way. And I believe that God knows how to even reach out over 2,000 years and find us right here as we're closing out 2024 and getting ready to move into 2025. I believe that God knows how to reach out over those 2,000 years and this morning make Himself known in our life in a new and a powerful and a life-changing way. And I'm personally convinced that as blessed as we might be in the next years of plenty, and I'm praying and believing for some years of plenty, I believe there are going to be some years where we can sow some seed and we can expect and experience God doing some wonderful miracles. But even as we are moving into these years, that I believe it's a season of restoration and revival available to us as a nation. And I do believe that the signs and the wonders and the miracles will be fully restored to the church. I believe the church, when the spots and the wrinkles get out, there's going to be room for more of Jesus and more of the Holy Spirit's power and anointing and demonstration in the church. And the church must be cleaned up. The church must be cleaned up. If Jesus was walking the earth today, I believe He would again clean the temples. But not so much just the physical facilities. I believe He would say to many of us that you have made great progress. You're a long ways from where you were in the darkness. You have left Egypt. You have gone beyond the 40 years of wandering. You are entering into your promised land, but it's not quite time yet to grab your harp and sing the song in heaven. I'm not finished with you yet. There's still a work to be done right here on the earth. And yet, we are going to look up while we're working. We're going to look up while we're building. We're going to look up while we're serving. We are going to be ready for His return. We are going to speak of His return because remember this as well. When everyone says peace and safety, that's when the Word says that the returning will be. When everyone says peace and safety. And so we in the church understand that when others go to sleep, we are awakened. When others might sleep, we are awake and we know that we must stand together in faith. Yes, you love Him even though you've never seen Him, though you do not see Him. You trust Him even now. You are happy with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Your reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Look into chapter 2. In chapter 2, the second part of verse 8, talking about the stone, the builders, the cornerstone, that we are living stones. Those who do not receive, it says they stumble because they do not listen to God's word or obey it, so they meet the fate that has been planned for them. But verse 9 says, but you. I'm one of those yous. You're one of those yous. We already talked about that. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you still trust him. And even now you choose to have an inexpressible joy. Verse 9 says, you're not like those who do not believe, who do not receive the word of God, for you are a chosen people. I like that song. We used to sing it. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Yes, here it is. You're not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a kingdom of priests. You are a kingdom of priests. You know you are the kingdom, right? It's not just that you're in the kingdom and that the kingdom is in you. You are actually the visible representation of the kingdom. We are the kingdom. Christ is in us. We are in Christ. And the word says that you are a kingdom of priests. And we know that, don't we? Because it was only the high priest that had access. But because of Christ and his coming into our lives, we have direct access, even more intense than the high priest ever had. We have instant access. We're a kingdom of priests, God's holy nation, his very own possession. This is so you can show others the goodness of God. Why? Because he called you. Yes, he called you. You say, well, I have people tell me, well, I don't think I hear God talking to me. Let me tell you, if you're born again, he called you. Some of you were a long ways away. Some that he's going to save are a long ways away. He's still calling this morning, but he called you. That's how we came. We didn't come because we were looking for him. He called us. He called us. He called us. Do you know, before the heavens and the earth was made, he knew you. I can't understand it. I can't explain it. I don't have words to give illustration to it, but the word tells me that God knew me before I was ever formed. God knew me. God knew you. You were a part of his plan. You were a planned part of his family. You were destined to be a part of his eternal family. He called you. Yes, he called you out of the darkness. That's where we were, into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you received none of God's mercy, but now you have received his mercy. This is awesome. This is awesome. Well, we sort of got started this morning in 1 Peter, looking at an aspect of the Christmas story. You know, when Jesus was facing the crucifixion, it tells us in the Word that there was joy set before him. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. There was joy in his life. In Peter's gospel, it talks about the inexpressible joy. It's not like we're insane and when you're hurting that you're happy that you're hurting. No, it's not like that. When you're under attack, it's not like you have an inexpressible, hilarious joy in your feelings while you're going through the attack. No, that's not what the joy is about. The joy is about knowing that God loves us and God has called us into his family and that God will deliver us. God will deliver us. We may need to just say that sometimes. God, I know you will deliver me. You will deliver all things, all things. Now that comes from somebody that's made a cake or two, because I remember as a little boy testing the ingredient. And I found out that some of the things that go into making a delicious cake do not taste too good by themselves. And some of the things in our lives are the same way, but God has called us. And you're right, Jody. And that verse says a whole lot more than just how I am to see it. All things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purposes. I always looked at that and said, okay, everything I'm going through, it's going to work out and be really good for me. But let me tell you what the bigger picture is. It's what God did when he came. He wasn't looking at the good of the moment for himself, but he was looking at the good when the family would be brought into his presence forever. And so the good, all things working for the good, what's going on in my life, what's going on over here in David's life or Andrew's life or Jody's life, it is, yes, going to work for good, and it's cleaning, clarifying, delivering, the power of God's being released, but it also is for the good of all of those because we're in a family. And when God's working in your life, he's also going to work in my life as well. And your testimony is going to encourage me, and my testimony is to encourage you. And we're going to stand together as we move into the close of this year. Over the last several hours, I've just been reminded of Jewel. How many of you remember Jewel McMillan? What a precious saint, Jewel McMillan. Jewel married Captain McMillan. He was a brother who was on three different ships that were shot out from under him during the war. He spent a lot of time in submarine, and Captain McMillan was a man who became a wonderful friend. Jewel was a lady of faith. Jewel would tell me how she was raised and trained to be a missionary and went to Bible college. And Jewel, for many years, had a place in the flea market. And I don't know if any of you remember that. She had a trailer in the flea market. She collected all kinds of things. She had all kinds of things that she collected. So Jewel would utilize the gifts God gave her to witness to other people. And she did that right up until the last days of her life. Captain McMillan, he had questions. He was raised a Roman Catholic, and he was very devoted in his faith. But he said, I'm not quite sure. He'd been attending Protestant churches for many years, but he was close to going home. And Captain McMillan, one day as I shared with him, how that God's word is trustworthy, and went into John and shared with him how Nicodemus would come to God and how God would minister to him and the importance of being born again. And on that one day when Captain McMillan was touched by the Holy Spirit, he saw and understood. He was touched by the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, he said, I understand. I was a man with authority. I could tell this one to do that, just like in the Word of God. He said, when I gave the command, the ship is going down, I had to send some men to their death. There were missions that had to be done. There was critical information that had to be destroyed. The ship could not go down without someone doing their job. He said, I live with those thoughts every day. He said, there was that kind of authority. He said, now I understand that Jesus said I must be born again. So the church can't do that. A denomination cannot save me. I can only be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I get it. I understand. He is the one with all authority, and I believe it, and I receive it. And he prayed that prayer. And Captain, in just a few days, stepped into the presence of God, full of the joy of the Lord. Jewel, I was thinking about Jewel. I believe the last time I was able to talk with Jewel, she was in her son's home over in Sewell's Point, went into that big fancy house and made my way up to her room, and the nurses and all the assistants walked away so I could have some time with a great saint. And that precious lady, her message to me was, Pastor, don't be discouraged. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on Jesus and build that church. God is going to build that church. Jonathan, stay on the job. And Jewel, she lived those last years. Those of you that knew her, Jewel believed every day for more. She believed for her family, for her children, for her grandchildren. She prayed for those who she saw. And she said, Jonathan, God is going to raise up. He's going to raise up a mighty witness in this city through Abundant Life. And I was thinking of Jewel this morning, and I was remembering that this family has already a great deposit with dozens, probably more than 100 maybe 200 or 300 that have already went home, that are with the Lord, that were a part of this family, that lived in faith and went home in faith. And when they left saying, God has called you, be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.